Okay, Rosh Chodesh Adar. Before we start reading the Megillah, Megillah says to make three brachas. The middle bracha is a familiar bracha. She'asa nisim la'aviseinu b'yomim ahem b'zman hazeh. We remind ourselves that Hashem did the nisim b'yomim ahem in those days, b'zman hazeh in this time. And we're told that it's not only in this time as it was then, but in this time as well, we sort of can relive, we can reconnect with the Nisim that happened back then. And indeed, Purim is a very special time to be able to connect in. It's not as long as Chanukah, so we can just take our time. There's a lot of things to do on Purim, so we need to prepare ourselves to know how to utilize the day properly and fulfill the mitzvahs with the right intent and the fulfillment that Chazal had in mind, namely Mordechai and Esther and the Chacham and the Nevi'im of the time, of what they meant that we should supposed to, what we're supposed to get out of Purim, and how to really elevate ourselves with these very special days. If we look a little bit about the history of Purim, when did it take place? Simply, we know it was somewhere in between the first Beis Hamikdash and the second Beis Hamikdash. Really, before the second Beis, before the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Gemara again tells us that Yechoniah HaMelech was already exiled by Nebuchadnezzar 11 years prior to the Churban Beis Hamikdash. 11 years before the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, Yechoniah and many were exiled. In that group who were exiled from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel was Mordechai. Asher heglam Yerushalayim im ha-goyla asher hoglasa im Yechoniah melech Yehuda. That's what we read in the Megillah. That took place 11 years before Bayis Rishon was Necharav by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? So where is Mordechai? He's in Bavel. Approximately 36 years later, there's a change of kings. Koresh now is the new king in Bavel, and he permits the Jews to go back up to Yerushalayim, back to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, and rebuild the Beis Hamikdash again. And Zerubbabel, we read in the Navi about this, Zerubbabel, one of the leaders at the time of the Yehudim, takes a group of about 40,000 Yidden, only a fraction of who was there in Babel, and goes up to Yerushalayim to rebuild the new Beis Hamikdash, which will be the Bayis Sheni. That's the expectation. However, what ensues then is the Kutim, who were living in Eretz Yisrael at the time, they wanted to assist in the building of the Beis Hamikdash. They were told that they don't have a place over here. We read in the Navi Ezra, it's Leilonu v'Livnois Beis Elokeinu. We don't do this in conjunction with other nations. We build the Beis Hamikdash, our home, Hashem's home. We build only by ourselves. They were a bit turned off by that, and then they used a little bit of their influence to have Koresh halt the building of the Beis Hamikdash. And it was about maybe a year or so after they started rebuilding, with all that excitement, it was put to a halt. And Koresh said, the building has to stop. Approximately 4 years later, Achashverosh, as we know, he was a nobody, but he came to power. He married someone from royalty. Sometimes it's all it takes to who you marry. And he becomes the king. About 4 years later, he becomes the king. And he too, Chazal tell us, he kept this takana, he kept this institution, this legislation of the king, not to allow the Jews to continue building the Beis Hamikdash. And that was really throughout most of his time. The third year of his reign, we read in the Megillah, Bishnah Shalosh L'Molchai, Osa Mishteh L'Chol Sarah V'Avodav, he made a big feast, and Vashti also made the big feast. We know what happens over there. He gets upset with Vashti, and He has her killed. Approximately 4 years later, Esther is chosen to be the new queen, and she's taken to the palace. She's in the palace with Ahasuerus for approximately 5 years before the what we know as the Purim story, before we know about the Haman that comes along and makes his terrible decree, Lahashmid Lahareg Ulaabed Eskola Yehudim. Before he is able to make that decree and get the ring and the signature, the permission from Ahasuerus, it's been 5 years since Esther goes to the palace. Then we have the Gzeirah of Haman, agreed upon by Ahasuerus, and then very shortly after, within the year, through the great Tefillah and other things as we'll discuss, Hashem makes a great nes, and everything is v'nahapachu, everything is turned about on its face. Haman is hanged to his great surprise and the surprise of his wife and children, and Mordechai is elevated to a great position. The Jews are able to fight back, and they do, they win the war, and the next day they rest and they proclaim a holiday. They proclaim a festive day, the two different days depending on Shushan or not. And it's a day that is proclaimed indeed by Mordechai himself, a Yom Mishteh v'Simcha, a day of rejoicing and eating, Mishleach Manos Ish L'Re'eyu, sending food packages to people, Matanos L'Avyonim, and giving gifts to the poor. Approximately 1 year later, we're now 70 years after the first Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. 1 year after the great Nes of Purim, the new king gives them permission to start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash again. Who's the new king? His name is Daryovish, Darius. He is the son of Ahasuerus and Esther. And he gives them permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. And approximately 4 years after that, the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. So the whole story of Purim, looking at a little bit of a historical panorama of where they stood in terms of the history of the Beis HaMikdash, Purim indeed was the lead up, the preparation for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. They had a sort of an attempt, they had a good attempt to rebuild it, but Hashem said, no, now it is not the time. And indeed, there was a stop put on that. And even when Ahasuerus came, he also kept that moratorium on allowing the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. It wasn't until we elevated ourselves through what transpired in the Purim story that then Hashem says, now is the time. And indeed, immediately after that, we were able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We're in Golis now, about 1945 years, and we're waiting to build the final Beis HaMikdash. Most of it will come down from Shemayim, and we'll just put on the finishing touches. But how will we get that back? Well, we have to understand that we're trying to get back the Bayis Sheni. We're not trying to get back the Bayis Rishon anymore, but we're trying to rebuild the Bayis Sheni. That's what the Gemara tells us. We're trying to rectify the sins that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, and then we'll be zeich indeed to the third Beis HaMikdash. So now let's talk about an interesting aspect of the Purim story. Last week's Parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, starts with an interesting letter. An extra letter, Rashi says, the letter Vav. We could have started the Parsha, Eila HaMishpatim Asher Tasim Lefneyam, these are the laws which you shall place before them, Moshe Rabbeinu. And instead it says, Ve'eila. From one little Vav, it's not even a fancy letter, it's just simple and straight. And from that one letter, we learn now something tremendous. Says Rashi, Vav Moisif Alin Rishon. This Vav is to tell us that really we are just building upon what we just finished. What did we just finish? We just finished the great revelation at Sinai. We just finished Maimon Har Sinai. And Maimon Har Sinai, Hashem Himself spoke to the Jewish people. It was clear to everyone. Ata Reisa Ladas, Hashem opened the heavens and everybody was clear that Hashem is giving us the Torah. Says the Torah now, Ve'eila HaMishpatim, you should know all of these mitzvahs now that I'm about to tell you, says Moshe Rabbeinu. They also were given directly by Hashem at Sinai. Ma'rishayna mi Sinai, af'elu mi Sinai. These two are from Sinai. And the Mefarshim asked, that's a great lesson we're supposed to learn, but we already learned that lesson elsewhere in Parshas Bahar. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemer. And Rashi asks over there in the name of Chazal, you have to tell me Hashem spoke to him Bahar Sinai. Says Rashi, is to tell us, Ma inin Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. What does Shmita have to do with Har Sinai? He's about to tell them the laws of Shmita. Every seventh year you have to let the fields, leave them empty, no work upon them. Says Rashi, that just like Shmita, the Torah is telling us, Kol Diktukeha Proteva Klaliseha, all of the details, and all the generalities, and every aspect of the mitzvah of Shemitah was said by Sinai, because this is Bahar Sinai, so to all the mitzvahs. So if so, that pasuk already told me, a couple extra words, Bahar Sinai Lamer. So I already know that all of the mitzvahs were said and explained by Har Sinai. Why then do we have to have this extra vav to tell us, oh, by the way, all of these mitzvahs that I'm about to tell you, all these laws, are also from Sinai? The Mefarshim say, because Shemitah is a mitzvah that you have to let the field rest, it to be a year of Shabbos Lashem, a rest for Hashem, similar to Shabbos. But Shabbos we view and Shemitah we view as mitzvahs ben Adam Lamakrim. And therefore a person may think, of course, Hashem gave all the mitzvahs on Har Sinai. That's, and all the mitzvahs are all its details, and that's the mitzvahs that Hashem wants us to do as a relationship between Him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and us. The mitzvahs ben Adam l'makim. But there may be some Jews who will think, mitzvahs ben Adam l'chaveray, they must be on a different level. It can't be that the same. It can't be that it's the same in terms of a relationship with us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we have to have an extra vav. Vav b'yisav l'rishin. All of these mitzvahs and mishpatim, which indeed are to be describing mitzvahs that have to do between one person and another person, a Jew and his fellow Jew, they also, all of the details and all of the generalities are all were told by Sinai. It's more than that. That means all of these mitzvahs were given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And however we feel that we can connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in doing a mitzvah like Shabbos or Shemitah, a mitzvah ben Adam, l'makom, sitting in a sukkah or eating matzah or taking the lulav, all of those mitzvahs, which maybe we feel very holy about, we feel very holy when we do them, we feel that our neshamas are connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, much more so than we're just helping somebody out. Someone sends me an email and says, do you mind looking up this person's number? I don't have the contact information. And no problem. It takes a few minutes. We send it back. Do I feel very holy? Do I feel like connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do I feel like I just put on tefillin? The Torah here is teaching us that we should. Those mitzvahs, ben adam l'chaveray, someone asked me, oh, could you just watch this for a moment? I have to step into this room. That's a mitzvah of being a shomer chinam. That's a mitzvah in the Torah. There's obligations, certainly. There's liability if I'm negligent, but that's a mitzvah in the Torah. Right? That's a chesed. Any simple ma'isa chesed is no more simple anymore. It's no less different than a mitzvah ben adam l'makom. Thank you. How many mitzvahs were there in the Aseres Hadibros? Or the simple answer is 10. There are other answers that really incorporate more, but let's go with the simple answer. There are 10. How were they written on the Luchos?
5 and 5.
That's a great answer. That's one of many opinions. Interesting, that's the most famous one. Probably because in most shuls, that's the way they depict it. 5 and 5, right? Very good. How did the luchos look? Like with a... Nope. They didn't. They weren't round on top. They didn't look like that. They were They were square, rectangular, square, right? Top, bottom, and the sides, right? Oh, but that's what it has on the Pareichus, that's what it has on the Arun. All right, the different reasons why they say that it should look more like a heart, to give love to the Torah. Okay, an explanation I once saw, beautiful. But there's many, many different permutations of how it looked. Some say there were 10 on each. Some say it was 20. 10, 10, and then the other side, 10 and 10. And some say it was just one long list of 10. But indeed, there is an opinion, and this is a machlekes in the Tanoim, in the Yerushalmi and Shkolim, of how they were written. But we'll go with the simple understanding, it was 5 on one side and 5 on the other side. And if indeed it was like that, then we know the first 5 were mitzvahs ben adam lamakayim, and the second 5 were mitzvahs ben adam lachaveri. So let me tell you something very interestingly, that if you never heard it before, you never thought about it. It's an amazing thing. I once heard from my Rebbe this idea, from the Mashgiach Ramatasyo, that he quoted a Mabit. The Mabit was Rav Moshe ben Yosef Tarani, who lived in the same times as the Beis Yosef. He was born in the year 1500. And he moved to Tzvas. He was in the Bezdin with the Beis Yosef. He took over to be the Rav of Tzvas after the Beis Yosef passed away. So he writes, has many, many Svarim, Tshuva Svarim, and Svarim on the Rambam. So one is Svarim, the Beis Elohim, on thought, Jewish thought. He has over there in Shari Yosef's Perigid Beis, talks all about the Luchis. And he says, according to the opinion, then that it was 5 and 5, he says, if you think about it, the words in the first side, we'll call it, on the mitzvahs ben adam lamakim, are a lot more words than the second side. Right? Anoich Hashem alekecha asher etzisicha meretz Mitzrayim, mibeis avodim. That's the first mitzvah. Right? And on the other side, it corresponds to loy tirtzach. Then the second one, loy yelecha lehim acherim alponoi, loy sa'atz lecha pesev, achol temuna, asher v'ashamayim imal, v'az mitochas. That's the second mitzvah on that side. And on the other side, loy sinaf. So he says, it doesn't, proportionally it doesn't work out. So what did we have to say? Says the Mabit, that we have to understand that however big it was, the luchais, and we know they were even, the size of the luchais, the stones themselves were even, and you had to have big enough to fit all the words on the right side, right? So then, what did you do on the left side when the words were so small? So he says, it must be that those were much bigger. Loi tirtzach, loi tinaf, right? If Anoich Hashem lekecha, let's say, was font 20, loi tirtzach was like 72. Or they could probably go higher, right? They were much bigger. And that's what he says. Let me read you what he says over here. Nitzarach lemer, you have to say, kiyosa chakikas v'charisas hachamisha dibrei sa'achroinim shabaluach hasheni. You have to say that the carving out of those words of the second set, meaning the second half of the luchais, on the other side, were gedoyla mechakikas v'charisas shaluach ha'echad. They were much bigger. Chakika gasa, a much larger letter. Kadeshi and Nikra Venira Yoiser Mashihu Zeronu Beinenu Leveinenu. And the reason that is that when Moshe Rabbeinu is descending from heaven and he's carrying the luchais, he says the reason why this was is that what should we see first? We should see that side of the luchais first. Hashem says, I want you to see the side that says Loi Tirzach, Loi Sinaf, Loi Signaiv. Read that first. Read Loi Sachmoid Eishas Reach. Read that first. That will be the big, that's the big bright lights. And then when he comes closer, then you'll see the other side also. That's what he says. Why? Because man's Yetzirah is very strong even when he's young. It's more difficult to get along with people than it is to get along with Hashem. So therefore Hashem says, make those letters big. At the end of last week's parsha, we read about the bris that Moshe Rabbeinu made between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu ascends and together with Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, Moshe Rabbeinu then comes and tells the Venesaper Lama, it's called Divrei Hashem. He tells the nation what Hashem has told him, it's called Mishpatim, and they all say, whatever Hashem says, Naaseh we will do. Moshe Rabbeinu writes it down, he gets up in the morning and he builds a Mizbeach. Puts 12 stones around the Mizbeach for all 12 tribes. And then he says, the Vayizbachu Zivachim Shlomim Lashem Parim. He sacrifices many animals. He took half of the blood of these animals that he had slaughtered. And he put them in pails. So he put them in two pails, and then one pail he sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and then the other one, he took the other blood, and he sprinkled it on the people. Rashi says that when he put him into the two pails, Rashi says, Michalkai, who split it up? Who split the blood to put half in here and half in here? Now, what kind of question is that? What do you mean, who split it up? Moshe Rabbeinu took the blood. They caught all the blood from the animals and he just started putting a little here, a little here, a little more in here, till it looked basically even. Says Rashi, Michalkai, who split it up? Malach ba v'chilkai. Look at that. Everybody's standing around. A malach comes. I'm not sure if they were able to see this malach, but a malach comes and he splits up the dam. So says Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner, what do you need a malach to do this for? It doesn't seem like such a hard job to split up the blood. So Rav Hunter says, let's understand what's going on over here. One pail was sprinkled on the Mizbeach. That's to represent the mitzvahs between Adam and Makim, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is going up offering things to Hashem. And the other is the blood is being sprinkled on the people. And that's to signify the mitzvahs between Adam l'chaveri. And lest somebody standing there look at the two pails and says, yeah, I see there was a little bit more blood in the one going in the Mizbeach. Must be those mitzvahs are more important. So you have to have a malach come and split it, and it should be exactly even. Both pails are identical with the same amount of blood to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are all even. They're just as important to me, the mitzvahs ben Adam l'chaveri, as they are the mitzvahs ben Adam l'makim. As that is explained, ve'elah mishpatim, because all of them were given from Sinai. And more than so, they're given from Sinai. That all of them, we could connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of them we have to appreciate as a tremendous opportunity of a mitzvah. And connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no less, we could say no less than mitzvahs ben Adam l'makim. There are mitzvahs which we know are of greater value. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. That's true, but when one has a mitzvah, that's a mitzvah ben Adam l'chaveri, that is no less in terms of our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no less. And I would say it's a humorous story. I just said this over on Shabbos, but to just explain it based on this idea that we're saying. A true story, because it was written in a sefer that was written by one of the grandsons of Reb Chaim Knievsky. He's also a grandchild of Reb Aaron Leib Steinman. They share some grandchildren. So in Shvat, the last year, Tavshin Ayin Beis, somebody walks into Reb Chaim Knievsky, waits in line to see him, and it's his turn, and he comes to Reb Chaim Knievsky and says, Reb Chaim, I am Mashiach. But I can't go around telling everybody that I'm Mashiach because nobody knows me yet. So I want you to please spread the word that I am here, the Mashiach is here. Now this, let's understand, this guy obviously was a Meshuggah, right? Okay? And Reb Chaim Knievsky's time is very precious. Okay? In the time that he was talking to him, he could have learned 10 blot of Gemara. Okay? So, please spread the word that I am Mashiach. So Reb Chaim Knievsky asks him like this. He says, "Do you have a donkey yet?" So the person said, "Yes, I have a donkey." So what color is the donkey? What color is the donkey?
Brown.
Huh?
Brown.
Brown? Now most donkeys are brown. What's the donkey of Mashiach?
White.
So the prince says, "I have a white donkey." So Reb Chaim says, "No, no, no. When you get a donkey that has like 100 different colors, because Rashi and the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the Mashiach's donkey will have a lot of different colors," he says, "then come back to me." And how did he deal with this Meshuggah? Right? He said, "Fine, okay, you Mashiach, great." And he was able to sidestep it, not have to have his Gaboim just throw the guy out on his head, but deal with him. And I think because the time that he allotted to speak to people and give people chizik, this person, that's the chizik that he needed. Reb Chaim Knievsky understood that his dveikus b'Hashem, his connection to Hashem at that point, was no less, at that time that he sets aside for people, was no less than other great mitzvahs that he does. And we get back to our Yom Tov of Purim. And indeed we find that on Purim there's a great stress of mitzvahs ben adam lachaveri. Even though we have to hear the Megillah, we have to eat a Suda, but a mitzvah that takes up so much of our time, our mental space, our energy, is Mishleach Manos and Matanos Lavyonim. And that's an important mitzvah. Says the Rambam very famously in Hilchos Megillah, Mutav la'adam laharbeis b'matanos lavyonim. It's greater to give more money for tzedakah to those paupers than to spend more money on yisuda. Because there's no greater mitzvah, there's no greater simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than to make sure that aniyim and yisaimim, orphans and widows, are rejoicing as well. Shahamasameach levoim lolim, someone who's able to get people who are downtrodden to rejoice, he's doima l'shchina. He is compared to Hashem himself. As the Pasuk says, Lahache Yisroach Shvalim, Hashem gives life to those whose spirits are low, ulahache Yislev Nidkaim. And he gives life and sustains those who are brokenhearted. The Sfasemis points out that indeed the whole Nes of Purim came about through the schus of the idea of mitzvahs ben adam lachaveri. Indeed, when Esther told Mordechai, Lech kineis es kol ha-yehudim, go gather all of the Jews, v'tsumu alai, and then they will be my supporters. They'll back me up because they'll be fasting for 3 days in order that I be successful. That was an achdus of Klal Yisrael. Lech kineis es kol ha-yehudim. Not just go tell them, but have them gather together. Get a sense of achdus, a sense of unity over here, and then we're doing this together. We're in this together, we're fasting together in order that the mission should be successful. Indeed, he says the koyach, the power that Haman had, was because he was able to say to Achashverosh, Yeshnoi Am Echad, there is one nation, Mefuzar u'mefoirod beinu amim. What are those two expressions? What does Mefuzar and Mefoirod mean? They both seem to be synonyms of the same word. Mefuzar, they're scattered. Mefurod, they're separate. Beinu amim. Why does he say both things? So says this Fasemis that Mefuzar is a good thing. Tzidka is Pirzas Yisrael, the Pasuk says. It's good for us to scatter about. Hashem wants us to be scattered to the four corners of the earth. Because Hashem has a lot of, there's a big plan that Hashem has, that Jews all over the place are supposed to, in the Sfasemis' view, is trying to gather the Nitzoses HaKadusha. The Gemara says in one place, the reason why we're scattered is in order that we should gather Gerim and join people into the Jewish nation. But the fact that we're scattered, the Mefuzar, that's nothing wrong with that. But Haman says they are Mefuzar, but they're also Mefoirod Beinu Amim. They're not only scattered, but they're separated. They're also separated. They're splintered amongst themselves. And that is indeed a great charge against us. And therefore the only way that we have a schus to go against Haman was Lechinesis Kalayhudim, gather all the people, there must be Achdus, there must be unity in Klal Yisrael. There can't be Mefuzer and Mefayrad Beino Amim. They can be scattered in different countries. They can be throughout 127 countries in the kingdom, but they can't be Mefurad. Amongst themselves, there can't be Pirud, there can't be separation. There has to be a cohesiveness. And therefore he says that's why the Mordechai and the Chacham of the time, that's why indeed they were Mesakein. What did they institute in terms of the mitzvahs of Purim? Mishleach Manos U'matanis Le'avyeinim. Says the Sfasemes, Lo'irir Avas B'nei Yisrael. Because that's really the secret to the Bayis Sheni. As we know, when they merited finally a year after the Purim story to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, that's because the second Beis HaMikdash was built on the schus, on the merit of being Klal Yisrael. And the proof to that is because the famous Gemara in Yuma, on account of what was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, the second Beis HaMikdash, Sinas Chinam. So you see, the schus of it being built was the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, and that's indeed why it was destroyed. And therefore we have to understand that if that was the problem of the time, that's why when finally the Nase happened with Purim, they understood that's what we have to maintain. We have to maintain the Ava and the Achva, the Shalom and the Reyus amongst Klal Yisrael. Because that's the schus, that was the koyach that we were able to build the Beis HaMikdash. And indeed that's going to be the schus to be able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash again. The main personalities that are in the Megillah, the story of the Purim, which the Yeshua came about through them, are of course Mordechai and Esther. Who is Mordechai? Who is Mordechai and what do we know about him? Other than he's a tzaddik, Mordechai ha-tzaddik. Who was he? Says the pasuk in the Megillah, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaBira. There was an individual. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaBira. Ushmoy Mordechai, his name was Mordechai. Ben Yair, he was the son of Yair. Ben Shimi, the son of Shimi. Ben Kish, the son of Kish. That's funny. Why does his father have three names? Says the Gemara, these are all referring to his name. As we'll see in a moment. Ishimini, he came from Binyamin. Asher Hogla, Mirushalayim. He was exiled from Yerushalayim, Im Hagoyla Asher Hogla, like we mentioned before. He went into exile with Yechaniah Melech Yehuda, Asher Hegla Nevuchanetzar Melech Bavel. And then the pasuk right after that says, Vahi Oimein Es Hadasa. He was the caretaker of Hadassah. He Esther. She's Esther as we know her. Bas Doidoi, we know according to one interpretation, she was his niece. Ge'ela Avaim, she had no father or mother. And Lekocha Mordechai Loi Levas. When her father and mother passed away, Mordechai took her in to care for her. Chazal tell us in the Gemara, this pasach asher hagla mirushalayim. That's different than asher hagla Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. That Nebuchadnezzar himself brought him into exile. What does asher hagla mirushalayim mean? Says the Gemara, amarava shagola me'atzmai. He himself went into exile. Now Rashi has one upshot what that means and when that was, but there's a targum, what's called targum sheni, on the Megillah, and over that pasuk asher hagla, that he himself went into exile, says the targum that if you remember, after they went into exile to Bavel, Zerubbabel went with 40,000 Jews up to Yerushalayim to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Mordechai went with them. So where was Mordechai at the time? When the Purim story began? He was in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, Asher Hoglam Yerushalayim. He self-exiled himself. Why? Says the Targum Sheni, Because when he heard about his niece, who just lost her father and her mother, because her father died, Rashi tells us in the Gemara, right, that the father died while her mother was expecting her, and then after she gave birth, her mother immediately died, and she had no parents. An orphan baby. His niece. Says the Gemara, Asher Hoglam Yerushalayim, he himself did a self-imposed exile, and he says in the words of the Targum, it's better that I leave Yerushalayim. Imagine what it is living in Yerushalayim. And they were also going to be in the process of the building the Beis HaMikdash, and they never knew at any time, maybe they'll give them permission again to continue. It's better I leave Yerushalayim and go to Persia, to Paras, to be able to take care of my niece, who is an orphan. So the Mashgiach pointed out, is this not a fulfillment of exactly wordly what the words of the Rambam is? Mutav laharbais. The matanis lev yainim mi laharbais besuudas Purim. The whole build-up of Purim is done through who? Through Mordechai. And what do we know about him? That he put himself into exile in order to care for somebody else, to take care of this orphan, this niece of his, Esther, instead of being in Yerushalayim. What more do we know about him? After Esther is taken to the palace, the Megillah tells us, Uvachol yoim v'yoim, Mordechai mishalich lefnei chatzar beis hanashim. Every single day, Mordechai was making his rounds in the courtyards of the palace, lefnei chatzar beis hanashim, in front of where the women were, where Esther was, lodah, says Shloim Esther, in order to know the status of Esther. What they're doing to her, according to the Medrash, he was worried that they may be doing something to her, kshafim, maybe witchcraft, and Mordechai was always there. How many years was Esther in the palace with Achashverosh? Before Haman's decree? 5 years. We mentioned that before, 5 years. For 5 years straight, every day, Mordechai made his rounds and made sure, Esther, don't worry, I'm here. If you need me, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Says the Medrash, in Medrash and Esther, Uvachol yoyim v'yoyim Mordechai mishalich levnei beis hanoshim. Omer of Yaakov bar Acha. Omer le'akodesh baruch hu. Hashem says, Ato, the Rashta Shloim Nefesh Achas, you sought to make sure to keep to the good welfare of one person, one individual, Wadasa Shloim Esther, Chayecha, by your life, Save Chalidre Shloim Umma Shloima. You're going to merit to be able to invest in the care of the welfare of the entire nation. We read at the end of the Megillah, Dairish Tevla Amoi, that was a schus, because he showed I'm an ish chesed. I'm someone who takes care of even an individual. The great Mordechai, but he's taking care of this individual. That's what makes great people. In that same sefer, from the grandson of Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman and Rabbi Chaim Knievsky, it has a mice over there. Talks about the idea that mitzvahs ben adam lamokim, the Chofetz Chaim already said, that we get paid back in the next world. Because since we do that as a connection with Hashem, Hashem says, okay, so when you're here with me, I'll pay you back. Mitzvahs ben adam lachaveray, they're paid in this world. He brings a raya from a Gemara, we get schar even in this world for mitzvahs ben adam lachaveray. And Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman once told somebody, he says, how careful you have to be with people. He says, there was a person who many years ago, he said, he had some situation with. He says there was no dintayre, but there was some maybe hard feelings. And it wasn't his fault, he said. But he says, ever since that time, I give tzedakah every day as a schus for that person. I don't want there should be any issues between us. You imagine? Imagine we would give tzedakah for all those people who we think we may have slighted, that we go broke. But can you imagine that we would do that? But we would even, would we even think of doing that? Right? Because we can't, we can't mend the relationship, or we can't get the person to forgive, but at least do something to be able to make sure that we're not punished on account of that. Ish Yehudi Hoya Beshushan Amiro Shmai Mordechai Ben Yoir Ben Shimi Ben Kish. Says the Gemara, really these are all three names of Mordechai. Ben Yoir is Sheheir Es Yisrael B'Torah. He enlightened the Jews with Torah. This is a nusach of the Siddur Hagra based on this Gemara. Ben Shimi Shehishmiat Tfilosin Shal Yisrael, that he got them to daven. He gathered all the Jews and he got them to daven. You have Torah, you have Tfilah, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. What was Gemilas Chasadim? That's Ben Yoir, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. What's Kish? Says the Gemara, Shehikish Dalseis Rachamim. He banged at the doors of mercy. What does it mean he banged at the doors of mercy? That means he begged Hashem for mercy. Says the Siddur Agra that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created two doors. One door is in Shemayim, and one door is in a person's heart. Says the Siddur Agra, if you want to know how to open the door of Shemayim, it's through opening your own door in your heart. And Mordechai did that. And Mordechai was able to open his own heart for Klal Yisrael, for Esther, for every person, Deiver Shalom Lachol Zarei, and therefore he was the one who was able to, when he knocked on Shemayim's door, they opened the door from him. And that's why the Yeshua was done through him. Famous Gemara in Shabbos tells us that even though the first time around when we were mekabel the Torah, we did so under some coercion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over our heads, but Hadar Kibluhu Bimei Achashverosh, we re-accepted it in the days of Achashverosh. Shenemar Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim, the pasuk in the end of the Megillah, Kiyumu Masha Kiblu Kvar. They started fulfilling again what they already had accepted. Perhaps what the Gemara means, one pshat, is that indeed what we had fulfilled, what we had accepted beforehand, were the mitzvahs ben Adam lamakim. But when came time in the days of Achashverosh, hadi kiblu b'me Achashverosh, we re-accepted, and as we understood then, that the other five mitzvahs, or the other set of mitzvahs, which encompass all the mitzvahs ben Adam, lachaveira, indeed we understood, they have to be appreciated the same as the mitzvahs ben Adam lamakim. And finally, Rabbi Yerucham Lavovitz Zatzal, the late mashkiach from the Mir Yeshiva in Poland, says that we know the Arizal tells us that Yom HaKippurim sounds very similar to Purim. And the Arizal tells us, that's no coincidence, but rather you have the day of Purim, and you have Yom Kippurim. You have a day that's like Purim, as if to indicate that really Purim is on a higher level than Yom Kippur. How could that be? So he says the connection between these two Yomim Tovim. Some explain Tshuva Meyira, Tshuva Me'ava, but he explains it on the level of Ben Adam Lachaveri. What is it on Yom Kippur? There's no more Yetzahara on Yom Kippur. Has Satan is the Gematria, the Gemara tells us 364. One day a year, you're off, Mr. Yetzahara. One day a year, you have no control. There's a bittel of the Yetzahara. On Yom Kippur, we're pure, we have no Yetzahara. And that is only somewhat like the day of Purim. It's Yom Kippurim, because on Purim also, that's what we're supposed to get to. We're supposed to get to a level of bittul of any ra. When we don't have a Yetzirah on Yom Kippur, so there's lo kinah v'lo sachris, there's no jealousies, no competition, there's easy ahava from one person to the next. And that's what we're supposed to be doing on Purim also. And that's why they were mesakin, that's why they instituted these mitzvahs of mishloach manos ish l'rei ehu. Because it's supposed to be a doing away of all evil, of all Yetzirah, and only Ava v'achva v'shalem v'reyus. Still, why is Purim greater? Because, says Rabbi Yeruchim, it's easy to be a holy Jew when you're standing all day in shul and fasting and really not interacting with anybody else. It's much greater to be a holy Jew when you're living regular day, so to say, and interacting with people, and everything that goes about on Purim, and also having that Ava v'Achva v'Shalom v'Reyus. The 2 points that Rabbi Yeruchim makes, he says, Me'ikri ha-mitzvahu she'yishlach l'mi she'yesh le'tinok peida alav. The main mitzvah of Mishleach Manos is to give those who may have some ill feelings towards a person. And that's why you need shtei manos, because you really want to appease somebody, you have to give him more than just one. I'm going out of my way. I'm giving two. I'm giving you two, and they have to be really chashuva foods. I'm giving you two special foods. By matanas lavyanim, it's enough for one. The evyain, the pauper, you could pacify him. You could appease him even with one. He's happy with one. But that's the ikir mitzvah. And Rabbi Yeruchim will conclude with this part of his maimer over here. He says, why is it that Purim is, in a sense, greater than Yom Kippur? V'imkein be'emes Yom Kippurim eino kiyum me'ein Purim. U'v'emes shekol echad yuchal lochush zeis me'atzmei. Really, you could sense that by yourself, he says. Why? He says the Mishaleach Manos could have a much greater lasting effect than the Al-Chet that we do on Yom Kippur. The Al-Chet on Yom Kippur, he says, hopefully that will last until Matzoi Yom HaKippurim. He says, the Mishleach Manos that we can do with repairing a relationship could last much longer than that. And indeed, if we understand this is part of the essence, really, of the day of Purim, is the whole Nes was done through Ish Yehudi. As the Medrash says, Ish Yechidi, Yehudi Yechidi. Hey and Ches are interchangeable. There was one individual who took it upon himself to look out for the good, the welfare of every Jew. And it started only with one person. It started with one Jew. And if you can care your utmost for one Jew, then you can care your utmost for Deiresh Tev La'amai, V'Deiver Shalem L'chol Zarei. And that's why he was chosen. And he was chosen, and then when finally the Jews were able to gather together with a unity of Ava V'Achav V'Shalem V'Reyes, and they again re-accepted upon themselves the Eila Mishpatim. The Mishpatim, not only the ones that were at Sinai that were set in the Aseret Sedibros, but even all the Mishpatim that were set after that, then they were Kimu V'Kiblu Masha Kiblu Kfar, they were Mekayim also, not only the Mitzvahs but Adam La'Mokayim, but indeed the Mitzvahs Ben Allah Chaveri. And that's why they were Zeicha then, 1 year later, to be able to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, the Beis Sheni. And Emir Hashem, through this effort of Ava V'Achva V'Shalom V'Reyus, we will also be Zeicha to the Beis Shlishi, the Meir V'Yemeinu, Amen.